Please be seated. One of the preacher-type blogs that I usually look at each week kind of set me on the course for this sermon, and I'm afraid that was the case because an illustration that the author used hit so close to home. You see, Lori and I are leaving immediately following this service for a short vacation. It's been a kind of a last-minute thing. It's a long story, and none of that is really important. My point in sharing that with you is, despite how much we love to travel, we're just not very good at it when it comes to packing. Now, I wrote this week, and we packed last night, and I'm truly amazed at how well we did, but still, if you were to see the trunk of my car right now, you would think we were moving. And it's been like that since we've known each other. Every single time we go on a trip, both of us say that we're not taking very much, but we always seem to pack the car to the hilt, not wanting to leave behind what we think we might need. And I guess maybe by now you can see where this sermon's going. Because today's gospel is about discipleship. It's what discipleship meant to these first Christians who chose to follow Jesus, and in particular, how you're supposed to prepare for the trip. It's about what you take, and it's about what you leave behind. It is a lesson in spiritual packing, if you will. And it is also an easy gospel to preach because I just need to point out the failure of these three who were called to follow Christ, allow us to look down our noses at them for a little while, and then remind you that discipleship is hard, that it requires sacrifice, and then we can all get out a little early. I am going on vacation, after all. But if I do that, I don't believe that I'm telling you the whole story, or at least the whole story as I understand it. We've heard this gospel lesson before. These three men in the story want to follow Jesus, but they just don't seem to have what it takes, have enough trust or commitment to do what real discipleship requires of them. And that is a true point of this gospel, but it is by no means the only point. And if any of us think that we would have responded to Jesus any differently, I'm afraid we might just be fooling ourselves. Because if you listen closely to this gospel reading, I know that you felt it. Jesus doesn't come across very well. Jesus comes across as harsh, short-tempered, frankly, a little unreasonable. After all, these disciples wanted to do the right thing. They just wanted to take care of a few things first before they turned their lives upside down and inside out. But I think to fully understand this story, you've also got to understand context. This first man says, "Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go." But this guy, just like anybody in first century Palestine, probably doesn't have a clue about a Messiah that includes suffering and rejection and crucifixion. And Jesus, I think, just wants to make sure this guy knows what he's in for. His answer that seems so strange to us really isn't that strange. He responds, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." I think Jesus is telling this would-be volunteer that they won't be staying at the best hotels along the way. And I think he's pointing out that following is not going to be easy. The rulers and occupiers of Israel at that time, they all had great palaces, but God's anointed one had nothing. Jesus is saying that everybody has a home in Israel, except the one who truly is Israel. And if you pay attention to it, the second guy, well, he doesn't volunteer at all. Instead, Jesus asks him to be a follower, and the man is willing, but he simply says first, "Let me go and bury my father." Now, you and I have heard this story all our lives, and we can envision this poor man's dead father, and all he wants to do is go home and give him a proper burial, but Jesus says no. Let the dead bury the dead, coming off as awfully petty and unreasonable. And I don't know if this is the case, but I do know that someone in the Middle East in the first century would have heard this probably differently than you and I. They would have known that by tradition, if this man's father had just died, he would be sitting Shiva, the Jewish custom of sitting in mourning. He wouldn't be running around hobnobbing and listening to some traveling preacher by the roadside. And there was an expression to bury my father that had a long history, an expression of one's sacred duty of remaining home until one's parents were gone. It could have meant years. It could have meant decades. So if that's the case, then Jesus' answer really isn't that unreasonable. It's all just a matter of priority and timing. And finally, this third man, he simply wanted to go home and say goodbye. In the first century, and even today for that matter, a person leaving home was always expected to ask permission. And between a father and his parents, this was much more than a formality. It was about duty and honor. It wasn't necessarily a weakness or an apprehension on his part about discipleship. And if all we want to do with this Bible story is look down upon these followers, these would-be followers, and criticize them because they didn't have what it takes to be a disciple, then we're missing the point. Because these people were searchers. They were searching. They were searching for meaning, meaningful lives. They wanted to be useful. But in their moment of truth, they also wanted to do the honorable thing. These guys were seekers, searching in a very real way for many of the things that you and I search for every single day. Searching for some sense that God notices us, knows us, and knows what we need. Searching for meaning, a meaning that comes from being useful and making a difference in this world. A meaning that comes from just sometimes recognizing that our wants and needs and fears and hopes are not exactly the center of the universe. You see, I really think this gospel lesson is a call for us to be open to recognize and ultimately seize the opportunities for discipleship that confront us day in and day out, whether we recognize them or not. It's a call to understand that our own search for meaning is ultimately tied in our ability to serve others. It's what Jesus offered those disciples of old and you and me as disciples today. It is a call to unpack and leave behind one set of obligations and duties in order to take on another set. It's an invitation to leave behind selfish and narrow devotions in order to pack a sense of love and duty for the entire world and not just our little corner of it. We are invited to unpack all the small but heavy and burdensome things that keep us from loving God and each other completely and fully and passionately. To empty our hands so that we can take up our own crosses and follow, because when we have empty hands, we can more fully reach out to another. And make no mistake, discipleship is hard. These three men in our gospel did not measure up, and neither do we. It is only through God's grace that any of us are ever fit for the kingdom of God. And we church folks, well, we do try to be good disciples just as these three men in our gospel lesson try. But if we think that our gathering here each week and what we do on Sunday mornings is discipleship, then we're wrong. Because discipleship is not about feeding ourselves. It's about feeding others when we walk out these doors. And it can be as simple as understanding, as recognizing someone who's lonely, acknowledging the gift of another, or just lending an ear and a shoulder to someone who's in need. Discipleship, well, actually, it's about doing what we're about to promise for Avery Lee Wattenbarger in just a few minutes as we baptize her into the household of faith. Discipleship is about seeking and serving Christ in all persons, respecting the dignity of every human being, loving our neighbors as ourselves. And that is big stuff that we're promising. If we don't see a part of ourselves in the disciples of today's gospel, then we're just not paying attention. And if we choose merely to righteously condemn them because of their lack of commitment, then we miss a very important truth. Because you know what? Scripture doesn't tell us what decision they made. We just assumed they went on their way. We just assumed they missed the boat. The story doesn't tell us. The story doesn't tell us whether they went home or whether from that moment on they chose to follow the Messiah. You see, the part of the story that's not included in today's text are the verses that come next. After this, Luke writes, "The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him." 70 others. For me, there's the possibility of implying that at least some of these men did in fact seize the moment and began to follow Christ. But that's next week's sermons. See you then.